Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen. Give it 5 stars. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes me feel good about myself and it makes me feel like I'm not throwing this podcast out into the ether where nobody gives a shit. This is episode 441. I have a super special, brand new guest to the show, comedian and television writer, Janelle James. I'm super excited to share that conversation with you, and I'll do that in a bit. Right now, I'm going to talk to you for a few moments. I'm sitting here in my apartment on my couch. It's hot. I've turned the AC off, and I'm braving that, because if I were to turn the AC on, it would sound like it'd sound like I'm at an airport or something. And I don't want to do that because I care about the quality of this show and your ears. So how about that? So how about I'm going to pat myself on the back because I care about you and I am a good person. So I got NBA TV on mute, watching the 76ers and Pacers replay. It's going good. I'm glad it's back. It's a little weird. It does look like they're at AAU, but the guys are going hard. There's some sloppy play, which is to be expected, you know, after a 4-month layoff. But I think they're going to lock in soon, and it's going to be fun. So it's good that, you know, I'm liking all that good stuff. I wanted to say I didn't get any mail. I did get a text that I did not talk to you all about. It's from one of your favorite guests, Liz Mealy, and she sent me this a few weeks ago. She sent it to me almost a month ago, and she shared a message from one of her fans that listened to her on the podcast, and it says, "Nice work on that mundane podcast. Your perspective is always great to hear. I learned some things from you. Thanks for sharing. I don't even know who the host is. I checked it out because of you. Cat emoji, thumbs up." That's kind of like Liz shared that because it was nice. The guy, it was a nice thing for her, but for me, she said, "I don't even know who that guy is, but I love you." I mean, Liz is she's adorable. Whatever, she's funny and she's talented and she's hardworking. I get it. But you don't kind of have to shit. To me, I look like he was kind of shitting on me a little bit. Like he didn't know who I was. It's fine. I've listened to a lot of my friends on podcasts. I didn't know who the host was all the time. But then sometimes I stayed around and I listened to those people. When friends do stuff or they mention stuff, I sometimes check it out. And I say, oh, these folks are pretty good, too. Like Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips, you know, he talked about the Firestarter crew. He was on the show. I fell in love with those guys. I've been on the show. I opened myself up to new experiences by listening to a new podcast, and it was great. I found out about Rod through the great Bomani Jones, and it opened up a whole new world for me. So, you know, it's just like, I don't know who that guy. And I would say that was probably one of the better conversations, one of the top episodes of the year. And Liz and I were talking about some good shit. We weren't, I mean, Liz wasn't talking but to herself, you know, buddy. And I looked at this guy's page and I looked at it. He likes cartoons and anime and stuff, you know. Maybe we would have some kind of common ground. I don't know that much about anime, but he's into some nerd shit that I could relate to. But, you know, maybe the guy sticks around. I don't know. But let me just do a restart. The NBA is doing a restart. I'm going to do a restart. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris Lamberth. I'm an actor. I'm a comedian. I'm a casual gamer. I've done stand-up on television on the Staten Island Cable Access Channel. I've done stand-up comedy on a now-defunct cable channel. And I've been on YouTube with my comedy. I was on some television shows saying a couple lines. I'm a SAG. I'm a SAG card carrying actor. I'm an Actors Equity. not official, but I'm almost there. I think I'm whatever. I was in an Oscar nominated film. Okay. I was in an Oscar nominated movie. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Starring Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant. Both of them got nominated. There was a screenplay that got nominated as well. I was in there for about a minute, but I was in an Oscar nominated movie. I was also, my debut comedy EP, Failed Running Back, debuted at number one on iTunes amongst several well-established comedians, more famous, more Twitter followers, more everything than me. And I beat them for about 8 to 10 hours. I was on top. I was at number one. Nobody can take away that screenshot. I've done things. I have a day job, and I managed to do all the shit that I just told you guys about. Let me big myself up a little bit, okay? I don't know who that. I never heard of that guy. He could have said, I never heard of that guy, but I like this guy now, or whatever. Or he just could have said, I heard you on that podcast. You were good. Cat emoji. I know what you're doing, dude. You know, I get it. But in the words of the great Kurt Vonnegut, so it goes. I've said enough. There's a dog barking. There's a dog barking, and I don't even know if you're supposed to have pets in this building. Am I going to snitch? I don't know. Are these neighbors very friendly? No, they're not. They're not that friendly. You know, but if I see the landlord, I'm just going to ask him, hey, are people supposed to have pets? Oh, no, the dog shut the fuck up now. He shut up now. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's just bring on Janelle. Janelle James, very talented comedian. She has been on the stand-up, the comedy lineup on Netflix. She is a writer and actor on Black Monday. She's also a writer and which Black Monday, Emmy nominated Black Monday, the comedy lineup on Netflix has said that she's written for Robin Thede on The Rundown. She is also a writer and actor, voice actor for Central Park on Apple TV Plus. She's very talented, and she's been somebody that I wanted to talk to for the longest time, and I'm glad that we were able. Not that I made her do the show. I asked her, you know, I'm not an asshole. I asked her to do the show, and she obliged, and we had a fantastic conversation. We talked for a long time. So this podcast, I had to take some stuff out, edit a little bit for certain reasons. Because when comics talk, my conversation talking to Janelle was like, it was just like hanging out. It was so much fun. And then after we ended the podcast, we talked longer. And those conversations are always better than the ones on the podcast. Now, this shit is good. This is a good ass podcast. And like I said, I've been doing this podcast for 7 years. And it's good. I put it up there with some of your faves that make the list all the time. That make all those lists that that are just really manifestations of agents and managers and PR companies trying to push, you know, this propaganda on you that they think you should be listening to make you cool. This is a good podcast, okay? But usually, a lot of times when you have comics on podcasts, a lot of the times the stuff that you talk about before you hit record is always better. Even though better than like what you talk about during the show, even though this is great, this is, you know, we had a great conversation, and then afterwards was just like amazing. So it was great to get to share some of what I talked to Janelle about. So I'm super happy that she agreed to do the show. She's so funny. Check her out if you haven't on Netflix. On the comedy lineup, and check her album out, Black and Mild, which is available wherever you listen to comedy, wherever you stream and buy it. It's funny. It's really good. You know, support a really talented artist. And so without further ado, here's me talking to the very hilarious, the very lovely, the very talented Janelle James. Talking about being reclusive, if I wasn't working my day job and this was going on, I would just totally be J.D. Salinger with no literary achievements.
So you're in a you go into an office still?
Yeah, we just started going back. Like, we're in like two groups. Like, group A goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we alternate that. And this last week,
not to get you in trouble, but do you think that's necessary? Everybody I'm hearing doing this like staggered, you know, office time. I'm just like, if things have been going well at home, like, what is the point? But what do you?
I think I've done way more work at home than I've done in the office.
Yeah, it's like they have this weird thing with being able to watch you.
Yeah,
it's like, is the work being done? What do I need to? You know, I'm still working on a show, so we're doing like. Fortunately, we haven't been doing like writer's room Zooms, because that shit, I don't like Zoom, period, much less scheduled weekly, you know, old jovial Zooms. I can't stand it. So it's been weird because, you know, writing a show is a collaborative thing, but I'm fine with it.
Can you say what show you're working on?
Oh, yeah. I'm writing on Central Park. It's an animated show on Apple TV.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's super bright and cheerful. And every day I'm like, I can't believe these people saw my stand-up and was like, yeah, let's get her over here.
You never know what angle they like. They saw something.
I'm definitely serving a purpose, but it was just funny because when I saw the first couple episodes, I was like, y'all sure? Did y'all mean me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very good stand up. So I mean, you have to, you know. Yeah. So I mean, I would assume that's the reason, you know.
No, and I like it because it's really teaching me to write in a totally different way. I've realized that I'm kind of pessimistic in my jokes. So this, you know, just having to think, what's a non-sarcastic way to respond to this?
Yeah, right.
It's been a brain exercise that's welcome, so it's been cool.
What's that like doing an animated series, and you act in it a little bit too? You do voiceover stuff.
I'm a character friend on it. I love voiceover. What a fucking cake gig, man! What a scam!
Oh man!
I mean, of course they are the ones, you know, the Cree Summers and stuff. Like, so for instance, for me, which I think is the cool thing about stand-up, man, we be scamming, because I can't do no voices. The voice you're hearing is the one I got, you know what I mean? So I don't even want to act like I'm some professional voiceover person. I just got lucky in that they like my personality and I guess my voice. And I think also this, them putting me in the show was kind of them buttering me up to come over there. They're like, oh, you can write. Also, you know, like, if you come here, you can also be in the show.
It's still cool, you know, though. Yeah, I mean, it's still
definitely cool. No, I love it. It's such easy work.
Yeah. You have to get in how you can. And
once you get in.
Yeah.
Which I found is a lot of things in the entertainment industry. Once you win, then you're like, God damn, I can't even believe people have been making this much money to do this bullshit. This is crazy.
But I think it's to cover all those gigs that you did, those open mics.
For free.
Yeah, for free. And
for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what it's for. When you get those gigs, the realest shit you ever tweeted or put on Facebook to me was, you said, maybe
I don't tweet nothing but real shit. No, okay.
it's true. You had this tweet that was so on the money. I wish I could have liked it like 100 times. You said something along the lines of, when you see your friend on television, just realize that check has been spent 8 months ago. Something like that.
Yeah, because, you know, people don't understand how TV works. I mean, I don't think I did either, nor had I given it much thought before I got into it. But, yeah, people see you on TV and they're like, oh, she got money. It's like, I had money.
Yeah, yeah.
You missed that window, nigga. Like, I spent that shit before I got it. And then as soon as I got it, it was gone. So, and then the show comes out a year later. Like, it's over.
Right.
So, it also reminds me, just recently I saw on Twitter, like, the LA Times tweeted an article that talked about how Hollywood has been really affected by, you know, the quarantine and corona, and everyone's losing money. And all the comments was like, good, those rich motherfuckers. And it's like, people really have no idea
right
how many jobs and steps and work it takes to put a TV show on TV. They think it's just actors and I guess their agents.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone in Hollywood lives in a mansion. Like, nobody has, they have no idea.
Yeah.
Funny.
I just look at something like, for me, like being a day player on a lot of different shows and stuff, you really see how big an operation is and how much care they have for me, like as a, you know, somebody coming in for a couple of days with just to say like five lines. And
and it's amazing.
It's incredible. It's
I'm so lucky. Yeah, it's amazing. This is not, when I started stand up, I would not have thought this would even cross my mind.
It's so true. My dad told me one time, like, I was like, yeah, you know, we got done long day of shooting. It was like 12 hours. And when it hits overtime, it's like you get paid more and all that stuff. And my dad, I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm really tired. And my dad said, yeah, I bet it's not like you thought it was. And right. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It's so much better.
I don't even think I had a thought. I feel like an alien every new experience I have. I'm just looking around like, this is crazy. Like, I think I definitely have, what they call it, imposter syndrome. I always think, like, somebody's going to tap me, like, hey, we met another Janelle. I know you're in costume and makeup and everything, but we fucked up. You gonna have to come with us?
Your make-a-wish moment's over.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think it's I try to get over the imposter syndrome, but it's almost like, I guess, as comics. And then, like, I feel like because I'm 40 now, it's like, and success started happening to me like in my 30s. And so it was just I kind of just more humble about it and more even keeled. And whereas if I was young, I don't think I would be a dick if I got famous when I was young. But I mean, I don't know that, but it just seems.
Who knows? I would like to think I wouldn't have, but who knows? I mean, thinking about 20-year-old me, I was a bitch. So who knows?
Oh, really?
I was a big old bitch. Goddamn.
It's almost like you kind of have to have that happy medium. Like, this is awesome, and try to enjoy it while you're doing it. Cause I think maybe like the third or fourth gig that I had, I was like, oh shit, this is supposed to be fun. Oh yeah, right. I'm supposed to be having fun on set. Like, I already got the job. That's hard enough. Right. So it's like kind of like, oh, let's have fun, you know?
Oh, well, no, I always have fun. It's I'm always in my head like, holy shit. I think I've said it more down than it meant. I meant that I'm almost having too much fun. I am astound, you know what I mean? Like, the whole time I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, I gotta go on set. It's at 5 a.m. I'm like, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's amazing. It's like, I don't know if you ever.
I hope I never lose. I hope I won't ever be, you know, yeah.
That's great. No, that we have to hold on to that. The older we get, like, I really feel like you have to hold on to that to make you, because it helps you create like that your imagination, all of that stuff.
My mother always says, like, well, at least I ain't working in a coal mine. And then I always think that, like, this is job is amazing. No matter how hard this shit is.
Yeah.
Millions of humans doing awful shit every day for a living. So shut the fuck up and enjoy.
Did you ever have the feeling, like, when you were a kid and you knew you were going to go to like Six Flags? For me, growing up in Maryland, it was like King's Dominion or like Adventure World, Wild World.
King's Dominion.
Yeah, like, you, like, the night before you're about to go, like, you can't sleep and you're dreaming about it. Like, that's how I feel. That's how I feel every day before, when I do a gig or something.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Man, King's Dominion, that's where the last time I saw Big Pun alive.
Oh, wow.
It was his last performance. And this is going to be mad disrespectful, but I'm going to say it anyway. He could not even stand up. They brought a full-size love seat onto the stage. I'll never forget it.
Jesus.
And he sat down the entire, and I remember turning to my friend like, this dude is going to die. And he died like maybe a month later. Yeah, that's what Kings Dominion represents for me now.
Jesus, that's the now it does for me and everybody listening.
Man, Big Pun was so sad because he had his success and then he died like, you know, he didn't even get to enjoy that for long. So
yeah.
Anyway.
I never went to a concert at a place like that, at a theme park.
I mean, the fact that he was even performing it seems like he had like a steep fall.
Yeah.
It was right when he had that hit, I'm Not a Player.
Right.
Yeah.
What year was that? I'm looking that up now.
I don't know. Either they gave him a lot of money or it was bad times or something.
I know I was in college. He probably got a lot. I'm sure he got a lot of money for it.
I'm sure. So, but yeah, he sat the whole time and then his hype man basically rapped for him and he did the fill-in verses. And I was just like, dang, this dude is not well.
Shit. That's crazy. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. That's pretty bad. I never. Kings Dominion. No, all right. No, I just,
I remember when Kings Dominion would have bring a soda can and you get however much off or whatever the
fuck. Yeah. I never did that because the times that we went, it would be like, I'm trying to think, it would be with school and like a school thing, or then like I think maybe my sixth grade class trip we went. But then like we would do, but we also, we did some kind of discounts. I know my mom would cook some chicken, some fried chicken, and we put it in a, man, that was the shit. Instead of eating that food, and the food wasn't that. I think when you get older, the food's not all that great, you know. At the theme,
once you get older and get some money, you start eating real food. You're like, well, how the fuck am I just still alive with the shit I would say eat? Like, goddamn,
yeah,
I don't trust my body.
Yeah, are you getting better with that? Because I feel like I'm coming on the other side of like, I don't need this shit.
Food?
Yeah, just like junk food.
Oh, well, quarantine has been bad for me. Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh,
I mean, when it kicked off, when things were kind of even still, like, gleeful, where we thought everyone thought it was going to be a couple weeks, and you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Just going to fucking eat candy for my youth and, you know, stay up all night and, you know, like, social distancing wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, that's when niggas were still doing the elbow bump greeting. And they were just kind of like, kind of stay away from each other and wash your hands, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That whole period, I ate so much bullshit. Rediscovered Pop-Tarts. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a decade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I ate so many. Just fucking one of those office supply size of Twizzlers bucket things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like that the shit that they have at Staples or Sam's or something, Sam's Club.
But then as the time goes on, you realize, I was just stressing because I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking you need.
I was in an office and the next day I was in my house.
Oh, my God.
Myself,
What is the thing? Yeah. What is the item that you cannot have in your place? Like mine is.
Anything with sugar.
Anything with sugar?
Okay. I am a definite sugar fiend. I'm one of those people who, I mean, I would never post like a loser, but I see a lot of people posting like, gonna give up sugar, you know, that, like, when you have to make a declaration about something like that, that means it's a real problem. You're not making it for anybody else. You just tell yourself, and you're like, now everybody saw it, you piece of shit. That's when you gotta talk to yourself like that. That's
yeah, and you can't say that. I gave up French fries for like 8 months, and because I had to say it on my podcast, like Bill Burr always says, I'm gonna stop drinking. I'm gonna stop drinking. And I'm gonna stop cigars and all that.
Yeah, now you're a liar. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, to just hold it, to hold myself, so I
but
can't.
That's me. I will root, even if when I'm like, I don't have any junk food in the house, I will throw together something.
Oh my God, yeah.
When that fucking sugar rush hits me, it's awful, and I hate it about myself. I've gotten hypnosis.
Really?
Yes, that was my first real Hollywood thing I did when I got a little money.
Hey, you do what you got to do to better yourself. I mean, you know.
I was like, get this sugar out of me. And then I think, so I had one session, you're supposed to have three, and it's very expensive. And I just felt like, God damn, this is some real white people shit. I can't even believe I handed this bitch this much money for this. And so for like 3 months, which may be the longest since I was a teenager, I didn't eat any sugar. I didn't even want it. But I can't figure out if that was the hypnosis or the fact that I knew I paid a lot of money for it.
That's a great bit. That's awesome. That's a bit right there. Holy shit. Yeah.
I was just like, you're not about to waste this money? Or did she hypnotize me? Because then, you know, after 3 months, I like ate a mini Snicker bar. You know, once you eat the one thing,
you go,
wrap, you know.
Yeah. I try to keep
in my brain like no, you know, that kind of that cartoon.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My eyes turn into the fucking, you know, twirly. It's crack. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
No, that's the thing, man. I try to keep the Oreos out, like the double stuff and milk, like you let it get soggy. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Like I've never had heroin, but you know, I feel like that's what that would be. Like, I like that.
And why?
Oh my
why God. Lean on a street corner when you could just eat a whole box of Oreos? I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't.
In the privacy of your own home. Mm-hmm. You know? Why not shoot Oreo heroin?
I try not to. Yeah, I try not to keep that stuff around. But I did buy some ice cream. This Tillamook, it's called Tillamook. It's a dairy company.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God. Yep. The peanut butter, and I'm very conservative.
Welcome to the snack podcast with Janelle.
Yes, yeah, with Janelle James and Chris Lamberth. We've gone down the rabbit hole before. I don't know if I've gone by myself, but it's good to have a partner. So we can be the Lewis and Clark of this shit.
My saving grace is that I'm a vain narcissist, so I never let myself go too over the edge, but
yeah,
I definitely have a problem and I hate it about myself. It seems so fucking, it's like a weakness. It's like, why can't you stop eating this shit?
Yeah. I'm getting better at it. Like I'm slowly getting better at it. I made myself some chicken wings yesterday and mm-hmm. did it myself like Friday. I was like, this is good, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm kind of over this. Maybe this just needs to be like a once a month thing. I don't really just need to like, I don't need to do this shit. And it's kind of like, ugh. And I'm going.
Well, I mean, I know mine is definitely emotionally related. So maybe I should, instead of a hypnotist, go to a fucking therapist, maybe.
I could do that too. Well, you know how we are with black people in therapy.
Yes. I mean, we're coming around, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
Collective.
I mean, shit, I'm in the same. I could go. I could use some, you know, but yeah. Am I going?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that. I'd rather go get a clock waved in front of my eyeballs for 15 minutes and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that Tillamook ice cream, that I'm kind of like conservative when it comes to ice cream. Normally, I'm like a vanilla bean guy, and it's great. I like the Breyers Reese's peanut butter cup ice cream.
No, you got to get on the Talenti. I'm off ice cream. I'm all on gelato now.
Talenti is that's bad. That's really what's the worst drug out there now? I don't know what it is, but that's
ice cream.
Like that's like breaking.
Are you kidding, as far as real drugs?
Yeah, yeah. Like that's like the. I'm trying to compare it to. That's like that Blue Magic. Yeah, fucking. What did they do in that movie with the with my girl that played the mom on the Asian sitcom?
Okay, that was vague.
God, what's her name? The J-Lo was in the Hustlers.
Oh, Hustlers, yeah.
Ketamine or something.
Ketamine, yeah, that's Special K.
Okay, good. Okay, I went.
Yeah.
Damn, I went down a crazy ass road. What's the movie that you already said it? And I'm like, what's the thing that? Jesus Christ. it's whatever it's that Walter White blue mm-hmm. make it's that mm-hmm. is that is re- you cannot
yeah
and then when they have I it mean, on I, sale
you don't even front you don't even do the oh I'm gonna scoop it a couple scoops into a separate you don't even front with that shit. You go ahead crack it open and take the whole fucking container wherever the fuck you going because you gonna be back like I don't even front with that shit when
yeah.
I pick it up in the grocery store I know I am eating the whole thing that night it's no lying to yourself like oh I thought you know what you're doing when you pick it up like so
yeah that's
definitely a thing where I've picked it up in the grocery store gotten six aisles over and then go take it back because I know what's about to happen.
Oh, you've actually had the willpower to take it back?
Yeah, every once in a while. Depends.
Good for you.
Do I have to be on TV that week? No, it's definitely going back.
What do you do to celebrate stuff? Like when you, like if you book something, you get a new gig, do you do anything to like celebrate?
I mean, when I book stuff?
Or you pay a bill?
I don't know. I mean, I guess this is going to sound like this is me not enjoying it, but when I book stuff, I mean, I'm really treating this as a job. So yeah. I'm just kind of like, the next thing, I got the next thing. I'm not really like, pop a bottle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't celebrate your wins? How do you celebrate them?
That's for like writing and stuff. For stand up, I definitely am very excited. So like when I got my Netflix, you know, thing, and though that's very exciting.
Which I rewatched this morning. You fucking, like that shit was great. I did message you, I think, and say that you were... Not to shit on anybody, but that was my favorite. You were my favorite of the bunch. And I think I did say that.
I'm shitting on people because the same way you just said that, many people have found a way to tell me that I was their least favorite. So, you know, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Everybody likes what they like. You know what I mean?
No, it was so, it's remarkable because it was like, I was like, because I rewatched, like when the first time I watched it, like, Janelle, fucking dope, killed it, messaged you. And then I rewatched it this morning. And I'm like, why doesn't she fucking have an hour? Why isn't she working?
From your mouth to whoever's there. Like, it's been, I don't know if it's, I do want to say, I think everything that happens to me happens exactly when it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been just what it's been what it is, if that makes sense.
So, sure, yeah.
Like, when I put out my album, the guy who I worked with, his name is Dominic Del Bene. He's mad cool. He runs Rooftop. He used to run Rooftop, and now he has his own record label for comics. God, what
is it? It's not 800 Pound. Oh shit!
No. Oh, I'm gonna feel so bad now.
I know what you're talking about because Kasim Bentley.
Blonde Medicine. Yes. Is his new company.
Yes.
And so that's where you can buy the vinyl of my
Black and Mild.
Yeah, so Black and Wild, but. So when he was at Rooftop, he had asked me, he had been a fan of mine and followed me online and everything. And that's who I now know, you know, further along into this. That's who I want to work with at all times. People who are fans of mine,
mm-hmm.
not someone who's just like, we're booking for this season and it's you know what I mean? This dude had been following me and had been asking me like, hey, I was at Rooftop, let's do an album. And I just, at the time, I thought I was scared, but I just knew I wasn't ready. Like, I was maybe 5 years in. I had a half hour that I could have stretched to 45, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
And it was good, but I was just like, and I kept putting it off. And then he moved to Amazon, like, years later, and he was like, hey, I'm at Amazon now. We could get a budget. We will, you know, throw you up. Coming out party, all of that stuff. And then that's when I did it. And it was so much more beneficial. And I was so much more done with those jokes.
That's great. Yeah.
When I eventually did it than if I had done it when he first asked me. And so that's how I think about the hour too. Like, even though I'm kind of like salty on some, like, why don't I?
Yeah.
But then I see other people's hours that aren't that great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like everything I've been doing has been great. And I don't want to have a slump. So, yeah. I don't want to, I feel like when I really want the hour, not just because I see everybody else getting one, when I really want it, I'll get it.
Yeah.
I'll go to someone and I'll pursue it. I haven't even been pursuing it. Mm-hmm. I'm really a person that just takes what comes to me because again, I want to work with people who are fans of mine. So they reach out to me like, yo, been following you since then, love this show. I'm a producer. Those are the people I work with. I don't really chase work.
Yeah, that's a good way to be, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you do it, so when you don't chase, and then when you're ready and you do put yourself out there, it's always, I feel like, the best that you could have done because you're doing it when you know you're ready rather than, I need money now or whatever, yeah.
How did you get there, though? Like, were you always like that? Because I realized that I was chasing it for a little bit, like within the first 5 to 6 years, I was just kind of like, oh, I want to get Montreal. I want to do this. I want to do that. My listeners know that they know a little bit of my story, but I feel like when I met you, it might've been like maybe whenever you moved here, but it was like, I want to say maybe 2013, 2012, something like that. I just remember.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 2013.
Cause I did a show. The first time I met you, you were, I think it was Montreal week, Montreal season auditions. Mm-hmm. And it was at that show. I think it was Poco. Might've been Poco Lounge. That's like
downstairs in a pavilion.
Yeah. And you were just talking and you're just like, what's up? Like, we just kind of knew, you know how black people are, like black comics. We just kind of know about each other. And we were just like, cool. I was just like, Janelle, what's up? What's up? And then you crushed it, and then you went on somewhere else, and then you're famous. Well, you know what I mean. Like you're killing it.
First of all, I'm not famous.
You're famous in my heart.
That's great. And the other thing, no, that's great. That's what I want to say. So, for example, this is something that this has been a recent argument with me with a lot of people. I don't want to be famous. And I think people don't know how to believe that.
I understand. No, I understand.
Like, I don't want it. And if I do want it, it's a very specific type of fame that mm-hmm. I can tolerate.
Yeah, right.
So what I've learned, and I guess how I got here, is once you figure out, oh, shit, there's a comfortable amount of money to be made without doing all that, you know what I mean? Like, if you're comfortable,
right.
With that very comfortable amount of money, you can be chill in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to have to be on Instagram in my house with my kids behind me. Like, we the Chase family. Like, I don't.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not my personality, and it just seems like that is what's required for fame now. They want to know everything about you and follow your whole life, and that's not. And what's what bothers me about it is that's not that many either. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin Hart is in the Kevin Hart that's on his Instagram.
Yeah.
But because people see him like that all the time, now he has to be like that all the time. It just seems exhausting. It's not worth it to me. But then again, I've never been on a yacht.
Neither have I.
If I went on a yacht, I'd be like, wait a minute. Maybe I should do some TikToks.
It does seem like a whole nother ball of wax. I've been around people that are just that are famous. Like, you hang out with them after a show or something, after you open for them, and it is a different ball game. And
it's exhausting.
Yeah,
it's exhausting. And I don't have. First of all, I'm already so dour. I don't have a upbeat personality. I mean, I'm cool. I'm cool with everybody. You know that.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Not only is there a expectation of openness with it, there's an expectation of niceness with that type of fame.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if I'm not, even if I'm chill, like, hey, thanks for coming out, if I ain't saying it with the right fucking cheerfulness tinge on it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
People get really upset. Like, she wasn't nice to me, you know what I mean? Or I just feel like you can't ever be tired or in a bad mood, or you just always have to have this. Okay, so for example, I saw Kevin Hart for the first time at Montreal.
Okay.
And I remember, and I'll never forget this. First of all, Montreal is where comics go to get drunk and fuck each other. Like, we all know that. And that's why everybody's so pressed to go. Like, we say it's Korea, but it's also the part.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part. I mean, yeah, so I'm a nerd like me. If I ever did it, would just be like, I get to advance my career and talk to people.
It's very fun. It's just a fun-ass time.
Yeah.
And also, I think once you hit a certain part in stand-up, you stop seeing people. Like, I haven't seen you in years.
I know.
At least a year now.
I saw you at Gotham maybe late last year or early this year.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, JSL was a chance to see all your fucking friends. Like,
yeah.
And so it was just so fun. So Kevin Hart was there that year. And the reason I was talking about the party is because I was waking up 3 p.m. staggering out of my room. Like, you know, there's all these panels and advancement and networking things that you're supposed to be doing. But if you're somebody like me, you up here partying and you're not doing all them shit. I want to say every time I came out of my room, no matter if it was early in the morning or middle of the night, Kevin Hart was there, suited up, shiny, rich, shaking hands, laughing, clapping back, like on 24/7. Like it's so much work that I am not interested in doing. I'll just never get there, and I'm okay with it. I remember one day I was on the street. He was maybe like a New York block away. It took him maybe 20 minutes to get to where I was because he stopped and talked to everybody. He's like a politician.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that kind of fame is.
Yeah, that's insane.
Especially if your brand is upbeat guy. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. He seems like a nice guy. Like I've only seen him in person. I think he performed at Levity a few years back with his, I mean, like his second to last special. He was running it. Yeah, yeah. He seems like a nice dude.
No, I'm sure he's nice. I didn't like that he
had to do all that
on his documentary to talk about him cheating on her. But other than that,
that was an interesting ball of wax. Yeah, that was something.
Choice, but
yeah.
Not, I mean, I'm sure he's pleasant enough.
But now after Red Table Talk, I mean, you know,
anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes.
That's what I see. Look at that level of fame. When they felt they had to come out and make a statement, like I just can't even.
And you know, you're right. And then even like I kind of agree with Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, because he said, you know, like, yeah, they're telling us stuff, but we don't know. We really don't know. They're telling us. Yeah, we don't know what really went on.
They have to craft the story.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. My personality is like, fuck you. Now your goddamn business. Like, take this fucking special, these goddamn yuck yucks, this movie, and get the fuck out of my face. I don't owe y'all anything else. And that's why I won't ever be mega famous.
Yeah.
Because it's a kind of a contract like that, and that people. But then you see people like Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, you only see that motherfucker when he got something to promote.
Right.
So there is a level of where you can kind of control what kind of fame you want, I guess. I don't know. The point is, I'm chill. But I always say I'm chill until I hang out with somebody richer than me. Then I'm like, oh, wait.
I got to get the money or I don't want that. Like, I got to get to that level or...
I don't know that I want the money.
Oh.
I always say, this is great because I grew up mad poor.
Okay.
So, I think this is also a black thing in that we don't really know what money is. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
yeah.
It's almost like when I get offered things, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's always the most amount of money I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And my lawyer is always like, we can get way more than that. I'm like, what?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a detriment. I mean, I'm way better about it now, but I know when I started, I was like, I'll take $3,000. Like, what? Just to tell Johnson, you know? And
yeah.
And you find out, like, how much money white dudes are making. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. So... I'm way more aggressive about money now, but still hiding from fame. I've turned down things that would have made me more well known.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I'm better now, but like 2-3 years ago, I wasn't ready to be on camera for anybody to even know, be interested in who I am. Like, it just all like freaked me out. So that was something I had to get over.
Yeah, you definitely have to get over yourself. Like I saw you on Black Month. I think maybe I'm 2 episodes behind, but I'm pretty much caught up. And you did well on that. And then like the writing. What's it like writing for Don Cheadle and Regina Hall and the other cast?
That was the best job I've ever had. I miss it every day. And no offense to Central Park, you guys are great. Like
right, sure.
Please keep paying me.
2 different genres, animated and then like scripts, like live
then,
action.
You know, Black Monday's humor is so much more in my wheelhouse. Happy, happy, joy, joy. So
right.
It was amazing. And then to have my first not only scripted writing job and then acting to be on a Don Cheadle and Regina Hall show was just like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, that definitely... That and touring with Chris Rock is 2 instances where every day I was like, holy shit, like my brain was just like, alarm, alarm, alarm.
Yeah. That's great. Like, cause I noticed it seemed like it got really black this year. Like when they go to the country club and like they thought who she was Regina King. They thought that was a great joke. Yeah. That's a great running theme. You put that in, I'm assuming.
I don't remember. That was Yasha Lester's episode.
Okay.
And, you know, we all write our episodes and then everybody punches it. So I don't know who put what joke and I don't remember. But me and Yasha have a really similar kind of humor.
Yeah.
And why are you laughing?
Because it's so funny. Because I'm thinking about like at the country club. It's just like.
Yeah. And also, to her credit too, Regina Hall ad-libs a lot of shit too.
Yeah.
Like she has her own jokes. Like she's hilarious. Like some of the choices she makes would be nothing I would have ever. No, not that it wouldn't have been anything I wouldn't have thought of, but I wouldn't have asked her to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she wouldn't do that, and she will do that to herself without anybody telling her, and it's hilarious. And super, she's mad underrated.
Oh my god! Like I thought that performance that she did, she's terrific in Black Monday.
Yeah.
Support the Girls, which came out a couple years ago. Like I saw
that.
So fucking good. Like it's just so like those type of movies are like my favorite, like the slice of life. Nobody gets their head chopped off. And you have a black female lead that's just grounded.
Yeah,
it's not. I felt like she should have got more love for that. I mean, it's on Hulu. I've been talking about it for a couple. For a couple years.
But I understood for that part.
You did? Oh, you did?
And then when I saw it, I was like, yeah, of course, why the fuck would they?
Oh, but cool.
That's almost everything I auditioned for. It'll be like, oh, Viola Davis got it. I'm like, yeah, why the fuck would I get it?
Well, I mean.
I don't know what I'm doing.
It was good, though. Like,
it was great.
My favorite scene in Black Monday so far that I've seen this season was when they're all at all the black characters are out to dinner with that FBI agent.
Yes.
And is it Paul Scheer's character comes over and they're like, we talking about black shit. What did they say? It was like, we talking about black shit. Get away.
Yes.
I was like, that's like, I don't know.
I will say our showrunner on Black Monday, David Cass, he's the shit. First of all, so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, white dudes, which can be problematic when you're trying to write some black ass shit.
Yeah.
But to his credit, so like in my episode.
What was your episode?
Mine was the Halloween.
Oh my God. So that was great. I loved it.
And black as fuck, correct?
Yes.
So
I'm going to rewatch it too.
At one point, well, I will say for my episode, I was not upset, but my episode is mid-season. So my objective was to cram a bunch of information into a short amount of time because Black Monday isn't that long. I think it's like 25 minutes, you know what I mean? Every show. And so I felt like a lot of my jokes that could have been in there was taken out for information, for like Wall Street jargon and all that shit. Just to explain what the plot was happening at that point. Like you have to put in like, I had to read so much shit about the Japanese stock market. So I was pissed. But anyway, I didn't get any of this shit to learn. But anyway,
what was what episode was that? Do you remember?
I think that's 6. It's when we went on break, and then I was the first episode back.
Arthur Ponzarelli?
No, it was.
I'm looking at my DVR. I got them all. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
I forget what it was called. But anyway, at one point, Dulé Hill says, oh, man, this reminds me of when I pledged Alpha Kappa, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And somebody in the background says, you know. And so.
Yeah.
When I wrote that, David was like, what does this mean? I said, oh, when, you know, I explained the whole thing. And he's like, I don't get it. And I was like, it's a black thing. And to his credit, he let us put in black shit, even if he didn't, it didn't make him crack up because he didn't get the reference. He trusted us enough. I said, dude, when black people see this shit, they gonna laugh. And so what would happen is, you know, again, I'm cool with everybody. So there's a lot of like black teamsters and your PAs and shit. It's always a lot of black people. Mm-hmm. And so they all came to my table read. Mm-hmm. And when the slavery happened, and that dude, and then whoever was reading said, you know, like, all the black people died. And then I remember David looking at me like, oh, shit, you know.
That's great.
But a lot of people don't get that leeway. Mm-hmm. Where they actually hire black people and let us write our shit like we know it. You know what I mean? A lot of white people or white writers almost feel like they can write us better than we can write ourselves.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Now, was that amazing. Now when they were doing that, like, were all the Teamsters, was that because, like, oh, we want to test this out? Or was it just like they just happened to be at the read through the table read?
Our table reads were open, so it had the, you know, the network people, and then it was like open invitation if you want to come, because it's a comedy, and also we're trying to pack. That's why I mentioned that a lot of my jokes got. I feel like I was upset because a lot of my jokes got cut, because this is a show where we trying to put jokes on jokes on jokes on jokes, like,
sure.
To where every time you watch it, you're like, damn, I didn't even hear that the first time.
Yeah.
You know, so we always like to have, like, quote unquote, real people.
Right.
Listen in, because we're trying to hear them laugh. You know what I mean? So
yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
It just happened because I was so cool with them, especially all the black people on set. You know, I'm like, my table read tomorrow. And so they all came through, you know.
So what's that like for you? So you get your own episode to do.
Uh-huh,
what is that process like technically? Like, what happens? Like, they say, Janelle, okay, you're this episode. What happens?
Every show goes a different way.
Uh-huh.
Some shows, episodes, you get an assignment this episode, but you still write it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Some you go off by yourself. Da-da. So Black Monday was a go off by yourself show. To the point where some people would leave the country. Like, oh, shit. You get a week, you know, you get a full week to go off and write your episode. So some people are like, I'm going to Hawaii or whatever the fuck. Like, it's the life. The point is, you go off, you write it, we outline together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, I'm the middle. So I think for this season, we knew how it was going to open. We knew how it was going to end. We figured out how it was going to end. Like, in our first couple days,
mm-hmm.
when the room started, and now it was time to fill in the middle.
Yeah.
So you don't just get to go off and be like, this is what I want to happen. You have to be like, what happened in the last episode? Okay, now I got to jump off from that, and where do I want it to lead to?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? For the next one. And so I got those parameters, and then you go off, you write it by yourself. Come back and it gets edited by your showrunners, and then you go back again, you do punch, meaning put more jokes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to the network, they do notes, you put their notes in. Every show is different, so it's every show has a different amount of people's hands that something has to go through before it gets on TV.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
like,
you're
Monday, they already had one. I came in on the second season, so the network already knew that they knew what they were doing. We had minimal notes. So a lot of my shit that I thought, they're not going to let me say this, got through.
Did you? So you wrote episode 7. Who are you supposed to be? That's your episode.
Yes.
So were you in charge of putting them in the costumes and stuff? So
yes.
That's fucking awesome.
That's what's so amazing about TV, right? Like, it's, oh man, this job was so exciting because, yeah, I said, I want Regina Hall to be a black Jessica Rabbit. And they did everything you write, and I don't know if people realize that, they do it.
Yeah.
And then he crumbled the paper and threw it on the floor, and then you see Don Cheadle crumble the paper and throw it on the floor. It's like, I told him to do that. It's crazy.
That's insane.
The set design, the costume, all of that shit is so interesting to me. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and I know black people listen to your podcast, I should hope.
Yeah, they do.
I was thinking another one of our detriments of black people is there's so many jobs that we just don't even know exist.
Mm-hmm.
How can you pursue things that you don't even know exist?
Right.
And so being in these situations and me looking around like, oh my God, it's like hundreds of people employed on this set. There's maybe three of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, not only, you know, racism, it's also lack of knowledge. Like,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known that, I mean, any of those jobs. And so the point is, but it all starts with the writing, and you write it, and then all these hundreds of people go off and make that shit happen exactly like you wrote it. It's amazing.
And I also got to give you props for putting Paul Scheer, Keith's character Keith, into the Audrey 2 costume and him trying to surprise Mo and Don, and he punches the shit out of him.
Yeah, so I wrote that, and I don't know if you caught it, but that's a joke.
Yes,
a joke. He was a plant for the FBI, and he's a plant in the costume, and it's also an 80s reference.
That's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Wow.
And that's what I like about that show. Like, the jokes are so deep and just like just so many jokes, and it was a dream. And Don Cheadle got me that job. I want to also tell people that Don Cheadle is cool as fuck.
Blackness.
Yes, man. And
he saw your stand up, like he just saw your stand up and was like, "Get that girl."
He wasn't instrumental in getting me in front of them. Yasser is who actually got me an interview. Before he say I ain't give him no props, he got me the interview. But just by chance, the night before I was gonna have my interview, Don Cheadle saw me on Seth Meyers.
Okay.
And called the showrunners like, "Hey, are you guys still looking for, you should hire this girl?" And they were like, "We are interviewing her tomorrow." So I feel like no matter what the fuck, I could have pulled my pussy out in that interview, I would have got the job, because Don Cheadle because Don Cheadle was like, "Hire her." You know what I mean? And so the first time he came to the office to like visit the writer's room, and we saw each other, we did that black shit like, "Oh,
it was just
so cool. He's a perfect example of, and I'm so glad I saw it, him and Regina, of you can be that. Don Cheadle is famous as fuck.
Yeah.
Kind of forget. And he's been in so much shit, and he's still black as fuck. He ain't sold out at all. He is very much himself. I love it.
He's a guy from Missouri, from Kansas City.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's cool as fuck. I really, really, I'm so glad that I got to do something with him.
That's good to hear.
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's good to hear when, like, people like that are cool. Like,
Yeah, because he's famous enough where he don't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll still get work if he's an asshole. And so the fact that he's so nice is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, I really like the show. Like, I don't know. I kind of get spoiled now because I kind of want to just watch stuff like one after the other. So I'll bank a bunch of episodes and then watch them, so I don't have to be on, like, you know, wait until the next week. But yeah, I think I got like, how many episodes did you guys do? 10?
10. Yeah.
Okay. So I haven't.
I haven't watched. Look, first of all, I can't watch myself. So it took me, I'm in the first episode. It took me like 3 weeks before I even watched it with one eye one night.
Watched it with one eye?
Through my fingers, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'll probably watch it all together a year from now. I have to be like removed from shit that I worked on before I can watch. I didn't watch my Netflix special for like a whole year.
I get it. No, I understand that.
Yeah. I was there. I know what I said.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. How do you feel about what's going on with stand-up now? Like, people are doing Zoom shows, they're doing the drive-in things.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like everything else, I have no, and I think this has sustained me in this business for a long time, I have no thoughts on what other people are doing. I really don't give a fuck. And I feel like a lot of people say they don't give a fuck, but they really give a fuck a lot. And I am one of those few people, so make note, listeners, of the day you came across someone who truly does not give a fuck. Like, I don't, that's great for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I know people, I, me myself, I'm happy and surprised because I know people 2 weeks into quarantine that were like already unraveling. Like, if I don't do stand up, I'm going to kill myself. Yeah. And I would have thought, because of how much I usually do, I mean, I was doing 5 shows a week sometimes, you know, up until, I thought I was going to be one of those people. And I'm mad chill. So maybe I needed to sit my ass down. But
yeah,
it made me happy because I don't like feeling like my whole life and being is dedicated to one thing. Like, I've
sure.
just never been like that. So I'm glad that I'm kind of chill. Of course, I miss it.
Yeah.
And of course, as soon as shit is safe, I'm back out there like a crazy person again.
Right.
But I'm not suicidal about it.
Yeah. Do you think, well, you don't give a fuck about what people say, but I think what I see, sometimes it feels like it's a little, I think there's people that genuinely miss it and they do really care and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes, like on social media, I think it's a little performative where it's like, I miss it.
And then, of course, yeah. when it comes to people where it's like, I ain't seen you do stand up in years. What are you talking about? But
yeah,
but
yeah.
Again, people, I also see that as a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those people are missing, complaining about not being able to do stand up or not getting enough shows or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I'm also not one of those, like, the comedy community people. I that's such a farce.
Yeah.
Like, we would all kill each other for shit. Like, I don't trust any of y'all.
I understand. I totally, yep.
You're not my family. You know what I mean?
I don't see Janelle, I don't see the lie in what you just said. I don't see a lie.
Yeah. I've never really bought into that.
Yeah.
I do miss, like, the hangout or whatever, but I also have friends outside of comedy. I have a family. You know,
yes.
I am just happy that I'm not falling apart too much. What I'm falling apart about is Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
climate change, the Trump, like the real.
Yeah, right.
Comedy will return when they return.
That's true.
There's more pressing things in my face that is making me eat buckets of Twizzlers. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I totally understand. I feel like my day job's kind of kept me. Well, that's kind of running me insane lately. Just the hours and the way the ineptitude of a lot of people, the Game of Thrones, even though I've never seen it, but the trickery and all this bullshit that people are trying to do, that's kept mm-hmm. me locked into some sense of normalcy. And then like talking to people like you, doing the podcast,
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
'cause you were like one of my white whales. So I was glad to have you on. Yeah, yeah.
We weren't even days in the quarantine, and people would hit me up like, "Look, this. I've been trying to get you on my podcast for 3 years. I know you in the house. Like, you
are." Well, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. You know, I got jealous because you were on Clark Jones's podcast.
He was one of them. He had been asking me and asking me, and it's no, of course, it's not personal.
No, no, it's not. I just say like as a host, like I'm just being like. Like, because Clark's been on the show. I like Clark. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, she's on Clark's show? You know, but that's, it's just friendly, fake jealousy. Yeah. But, and then when you messaged on, you were in the chat when I did the Black Guy Who Tips, I was like, I got to get Janelle on the show. So,
well, here I am.
Yeah, hopefully you are.
I got to, entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. I got to ask you, though, you're somebody that, because it's not a woman thing. It's not because you're a lady. It's like every time I see a comic mention a video game or something, I'm like, oh, there's another one. I would say within the last 7 years, my listeners know this and they hate me when I talk about certain things over and over again. But within the last so like 2013, I started playing video games like again. Normally for me, it would just be like 2K and Madden. Now I've been getting into the story-driven games like The Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2. My favorite, like I was trying to get off the fucking game before you called because I beat the game and I'm replaying it because I'm trying to get the trophies and stuff. And I was like, I need to cut this shit off right now. So what are you into? Like, what have you been playing? Like, even pre-quarantine, what are you doing now?
Right. Well, I think supposed to be saying, and then I went off on a tangent, was I don't call myself a gamer, and it's just surprising because in quarantine I have been playing even less.
Okay.
I had like the first Atari and shit to date myself. Like, I've always been in a video game.
Sure,
like,
of course, yeah.
Mike Tyson Punch Out, all that shit.
Yeah.
But, and so I've played basically my whole life casually. But with stand-up, once I got really busy with stand-up and I was coming home like 1 a.m. and shit, it became a thing to get that stand-up energy off me.
Sure.
You know, you come in the house and you like, oh, and boom, and, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or with me too, if I crush on it, so I always want to fuck, but that's just my thing. So that answers that question about what do I do to celebrate. I always like to fuck.
Well, there you go. Well, good for you.
Sometimes that's not available to you, and so you play Grand Theft Auto and you punch people in the face for a couple hours, and then you go to bed.
So you're kind of like a dude then. So that's like, yeah. So women have that version of stuff too. Okay, that's
yeah.
Good.
When I think gamer, I think I'm sitting there with the headset. I'm online. My family misses me. Like, I'm not that.
It's so, you know what though? What I find, like, okay, it's like both of us have done well. You're doing really well at your craft and everything, and you're killing it.
At the moment, yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it could go anywhere after.
It could go away. You know, like literally go away, like it did 3 months ago. Yeah. But before all this, mm-hmm. I never got why people would say, like, oh my God, if I had one of those, it's like we were talking about candy and shit. If I had a PlayStation in my apartment, I would never leave. But then it's like other people's like, it's like, you do drugs. You're an alcoholic.
What did you say you kind of cut off?
People are so intense about like video games, like where it's like, it's so bad. Like, it's almost like it's worse than a drug or alcohol problem.
Really?
To some people, it just seems like, oh, I can't have that in my place. I can't do that. I can't.
Well, maybe it is. So, like you said, it's like me and sugar. Like, there are people who don't like sugar. They're like, I don't like dessert. Like, those motherfuckers, I want to choke them out when they say that shit to me. Because I can't fathom.
Yeah.
I am like, so, like, if you want to see me, like, immediately enraged, say I don't like dessert. Because I can't even wrap my brain around that shit.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, there's probably people who are addicted to video games. I'm sure, not even probably, I feel like I've read that before, that you can.
That's true.
Become addicted to it.
But so, I've never missed a spot or an audition because I was playing Tomb Raider.
Have you missed the start of a podcast because you're eating ice cream?
No. I was thinking about eating ice cream after. Like, I was going to see if my car's in the shop. I was going to see about my car. And then I said, maybe I'll eat some ice cream. Because I only had it, this would be my once a week ice cream. Because the last time, I bought it Sunday, and I'll eat some either today or tomorrow. But no more. But yeah.
Again, I've tried to. Okay, so I'll say this. I'm a Libra, so.
Okay, what does that mean?
According to my friend who talks about this type of shit, I am one of those hated people where I'm always trying to see shit from the other side.
Sure. Okay.
You know what I mean? So we're.
And you're a comic, though. So that's not that weird. And it's not weird.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, let's hear the other argument or whatever the fuck, even when I know someone is wrong. I want to hear both sides.
Sure.
And so, in a way, it helps me. It really does help me in the not giving a fuck, because I try not to. I try not to just look into or look beyond what people are saying.
Yeah.
Or like how you said, oh, it's performative. Some people are being performative about how they miss stand up. And even though I know that, I don't care. Like, I let them have it.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting something out of posting that they're missing it. So just let them have it. Like, we have so little joy in the world.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, you're
and
right.
And I'm sure that also comes with age. Like, I've really been trying to lean into that. Like, do not look beyond what people are giving you, because whatever they're getting out of it, it is what it is. And I'm performing in some ways as well. And I don't want people reading into what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, you're right.
Yeah, trying to get away from wasting time wondering about people's motivations when I got shit to do. So
that's true.
And I do want to say that to other stand-ups, like, I think, periodically I'll post that, like, we have to stop wondering what other people are doing.
You post some gems, though. That's why I like following you. Like, you know, you do post gems.
Like, I'm genuinely trying to help people too.
Yeah.
So it's like, because these are the stages I went through, and I'm wondering if it's one of those things where it's like when you're a teenager, if an adult tells you like, don't do this, and you still got to do it.
Yeah. Still got to touch that stove. Yeah.
I think we just have to go through those stages where you're obsessed. Like, why did she get blah, blah, blah? When I look back at that time period, which was short for me, thank God, but I'm like, oh, that was such a waste of time. Because most of the time when I'm looking at somebody else, so I would go to my man and I'd be like, can you believe this person got this? And he'd be like, would you have done that? And I'm like, no.
But I still don't get why.
You just want to be asked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're not. It's the same thing with the hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so-and-so got an hour. Do you have an hour that you're happy with? No.
Yeah.
What's happening, if I got off in an hour right now and I accepted it, I'd have to go throw something together. It wouldn't be perfection, whatever perfection I'm chasing in my mind. And maybe sometimes I've chased perfection too long. Like I thought like, oh, I could have done it last year, but I would always rather be too ready than, oh, I got off of this money, let me toss them together. It's just, I'm very against mediocre hours.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And there's so many lately, it just makes me upset. It's kind of just, because, I mean, I feel like I work so hard at stand-up and stuff, and it's just like, oh, does this not mean anything?
Well, to some it doesn't, and that's so true.
What kind of person you are, the money now or money later, maybe, with something that you're proud of. I always want to be proud of the shit I did.
So
again, I'm a narcissist, so I can't stand nobody saying, oh, this wasn't good, because I'm like, that shit was good. It might not be your humor.
Yeah, you're right. Might not be for you, but that shit is good.
That's how you thwart. Yeah, I said thwart. All the eventual criticism that you will get, like especially as a woman, it's so brutal. So none of that shit phases me because I'm like, yo, I'm funny as fuck. Ain't nobody can tell me I'm not funny. You might not be funny,
right?
It might not be your humor, or you're just being racist or sexist or whatever. So it don't faze me because nobody can tell me shit about stand up. Like I've done it for so long and worked so hard at it. I know I'm good, and so every product I put out, I need to be solid about it, because when the criticisms come, I don't want to be affected by it. Yeah. If that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah. I think you shouldn't have a problem with that. You know,
now maybe millions of dollars also shields you from that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I'm doing it this way.
Yeah. Well, getting back to my you know, infantile question, what do you play? Like, what do you like?
Sorry.
Other than Grand Theft Auto, what have you liked? Because I think you said that you took your kids' Switch, Nintendo.
Yeah, because I wanted, well, first, so I'll tell you what I play. I play Grand Theft Auto, all of them. I still have, like, my PS2 to play Vice City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I play Hitman. I love Hitman. I love Metal Gear Solid. Anything where you sneaking around beating the shit out of people, I'm into it.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
With my kids, I like Street Fighter, you know, the older Mortal Kombat. I don't like the new Mortal Kombat. They're too gory. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. I do not want to see anybody's spinal cord come through their eyeball. Like, that's crazy.
I've never been good at those fighting games. Yeah.
Everybody that works on the new Mortal Kombat should be seen by a psych. I'm just like, oh, why did you say this? Anyway, what else do I play? I mean, I play Last of Us. I play God of War.
Did you beat God of War?
The newest one, yes.
I gotta beat it. Okay, everybody's telling me that's because I just played The Last of Us. I beat The Last of Us Part 2, and I love it. And it's one of the first games that I've gone back to replay like so recently after I beat it. And I got the new Ghost of Tsushima that is really fun. Like everybody, I think that's a little Last of Us Part 2 was really controversial, but Ghost of Tsushima.
I haven't started that yet, and I have it. See,
okay,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on with quarantine. I haven't really been doing much of anything. Like I said, I still have my job, so I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But as far as like recreation, I've been fucking gardening and
oh, that's great. That's good.
Yeah. I think I've been kind of like going back to all the stuff I used to do before I got really into comedy.
So okay.
Like, I play drums. I haven't played my drum set in years, like almost 2 years now. So I've started practicing and playing on that again.
Good for you.
I started my garden, cooking, you know, all the fucking shit that is giving us something else to think about.
Are you a good chef?
I could cook, yeah.
Okay.
I'm also a mother.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black moms got to throw down.
I'm from Ireland.
Okay, that's true. Yeah.
I have 8 siblings. I'm the oldest. I've been cooking since I was like 9 years old.
Oh, but, okay. So you good with that. Okay.
Yeah, I can burn.
That's what's up.
I've been waking and baking again like I'm a teenager. And maybe that's why I haven't found time to do anything. I just wake up, I get blazed. I thank God for weed. I don't think I would have made it through this quarantine this far as I have. Sometimes I stare at the trees for like 40 minutes and then see where the day takes me.
That's good. As long as your kid's like, Mom, I'm hungry.
Look, I have teenagers, so.
Oh, they can do for themselves then.
I can't. They don't even want to see me. I'm just like, hello. I have to find them.
They're like, Mom, Jesus.
I have to go to their room. Like, it's like 6 p.m. I'm like, wait, did I see?
It's like, are you still alive? Okay, good. As long as you're.
And then I go in. I'm like, you good? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, Mom. Jeez.
Both their voices are deeper than anything I've ever heard. I can't take it. Anyway, not to talk about my kids. But yeah,
no, it's fine.
In that I don't have small kids, so
yeah,
I'm not chasing them around or fucking blow up pool and all that bullshit. They don't,
yeah,
they're both playing Call of Duty.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, kids love that.
Or they just play Call of Duty eating all my food. That's all they do.
That I mean, hey, that's I guess I can just assume that's what they I did that when I was their age, so yeah. I played.
And then, you know, with quarantine, they can't. It sucks because they can't really go anywhere. And
yeah,
I feel bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad too. Like about all that stuff. Like I've got the NBA TV on mute, and I was talking to my dad about this yesterday. It's cool that basketball's back and stuff, and I love sports just as much as anybody else. But it still kind of makes me feel sad that you know everything around the games, like baseball and football. In particular, like restaurants that are losing money, people that
everything.
Yeah, everything. People that, you know, parking, all that stuff. The
right.
Stuff that makes that, like we were just talking about earlier about what makes a film set work, you know?
Yeah.
It's just.
And if humans were evolved and critical thinkers, this would be a time to think about that. Like, oh shit,
yeah.
Everything's connected.
Right.
We're all set of that. You know what I mean? And it's just, I mean, I'm sure there's a segment of the population, me and you and, mm-hmm. and others who are, but there's also a huge part that does not give a fuck and can't comprehend
yeah.
how bad this is.
Right.
They still want to go to fucking Bennigan's and they're going to go.
Is Bennigan's even still around?
I don't know. I'm sure if it exists, these people are there.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just so.
Like, I don't give a fuck that it's a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to change in my life. You better open this fucking CVS so I can get my fucking toe cream or whatever the fuck. It's an emergency. Like, I don't. It has to be. And so, again, with my Libra shit. So, you see, people will be online, like, yelling at those people all the time. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You don't change minds by. Hard typing at people. I just don't. I try not to engage in that shit.
Same
and
here.
So when I see them, even the fucking screaming ass Karen, that shit is a coping mechanism of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a denial of reality. Like
yeah.
If I don't win this match, that means it's not happening. It's a hoax.
Yeah.
If I believe this, then I have to be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it makes me feel bad for them because they're living in a reality that's not.
It's not real. It's like.
It's not real. And then and the only way reality can touch them is with death. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
People like, oh, then my son died and then. It's not even, it's almost not even like they're selfish. It's like they're just blind until it punches them in the face. It's a, I don't think it's a, happy way to live. So I never feel angry at them. I'm always like, damn, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you, is your, as a black woman, your hair care, how's that going?
Man, look, so I've had the Sealy. No, I'm joking.
Oh man.
I will say I had just started leaning into wigs to travel with.
Okay.
And that I haven't put on a wig in, you know, now 4 months now, and I do not miss it.
Good for you. Yeah.
I feel like I'm glad that happened. So I didn't, you know, you see me show up with some Jada Pinkett cheekbones in a minute. Literally, I felt like I was kind of like, oh, I was kind of leaning into, I need to present myself in another way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Get TV stuff. And that's not me. And the quarantine has knocked that right back down. So that's good.
Yeah.
I ain't going nowhere. I don't give a fuck what my hair looks like.
Yeah.
Really.
I just bought some clippers because I had to go back to work, and I was cool with the...
No, you're going to work. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I just didn't want anybody... like, because I had a really big fro, and I didn't want... Chris, oh, your hair. Oh, my God.
I mean, I've done a couple, like, audition self-tapes.
Yeah.
And I'll comb my hair for that, and I'm just like, look, I have natural hair, and it is what it is. But,
yeah.
Again, I think the plus of being a... stand up and trying to do all these other things is they know that they know yeah. we're not actors,
right?
I'm like, y'all asked to see me because you know you saw me on Netflix and you know my personality. I am doing this character as me.
Yeah.
Either you want me or you're not. I never, because I still haven't, and I that's what I should be doing during quarantine, is trying to take like some acting classes or something online or whatever the fuck, like perfecting that craft on. Mm-hmm. But I never try to walk around like I'm some actress. I know that Kerry Washington can pull out a fucking Shakespeare monologue at any moment. Yeah. I can't do shit like that. I can be myself.
Yeah.
So, and I don't feel bad about it because when I see male actors like Hannibal and fucking, you know, Bill Burr, they're being themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's
Burr has stepped it out.
Well, Bill Burr
is definitely taking some classes.
Bill Burr, they let him eat on King of Staten Island.
Probably
the biggest role that he had, and he did great. Yeah,
but up until then, I mean, up until recently, he's just being himself, the same person he is on stage.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I want to do the woman version of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's actresses that do that. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of the same. Everybody, you know, it's
everybody's being themselves. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is, I don't want to be. You know how people come in to stand up? The same way people come in to stand up, they do two shows, they're like, I'm a good stand up comedian now. I don't want to be like, oh, I was on Black Money, now I'm an actress. Even though I am,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to take away that I'm acknowledging that is a craft that you study and become really good at, you know?
Well, coming from somebody that did it, it's like, it means a lot to me, but I'm not expecting it to mean that much for everybody else. Like I went through the training for myself so that I could be mm-hmm. on set with you and not shit the bed. So if I get mm-hmm. the gig, I don't have to worry about like, if I got to do this scene, you and I are working together. I'm mm-hmm. not going to fucking ruin this because there's so much money
right.
going around. And it's just like for a personal thing that I can just take with
right.
me. And I would never look down and say, this person is not blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm looking down on me. I'm just...
No, but I'm just saying, coming from experience, from doing mm-hmm. both, actually, people look at you, they think that shit is cool. Like, you say, oh, you do stand-up too? Oh, that's great. Because that's a lot, what I've been getting a lot when, you know, people find out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They love it.
I mean, it's the only time we get to be cool. We're the lowest rung of the entertainment industry.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
We're one step above mine. And I think moms have a union. So.
Do strippers have unions too? They
probably.
Yeah. They I mean, they're above us, I would say.
So at any moment anyone wants to look at us as cool, that's great. But I always think too, cool comedians are always garbage.
Cool comedians, like what do you mean, like they're people that everybody like without naming anybody?
Yeah. You know who.
I get it.
And maybe not even in their act, but always like in as a person, they're always a garbage person. The people who are like the comedians who are like everybody loves them. or they're such a great person. And then this has been interesting for me as I get further into Hollywood and you meet people as themselves. And
yeah.
You see people online like, he's such a great guy. And you're like, oh boy.
I've heard two comedians that were prominent that have been doing it 20 plus years. And mm-hmm. they were talking about this one person who was super famous that kind of mm-hmm. doesn't do it anymore, but does a little bit. Like, this person is a boop. I heard this person is a da da da. I was like, damn. But
look at all this stuff that's coming out about Ellen. Like,
well, that's
and
who,
I don't know.
That's
if,
who I was talking about.
That's
yeah. Yeah.
I guess this is me underestimating myself. I'm like, I'll never be on Ellen.
oh, shit. we can edit this out. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever you want to do.
I don't know. Yeah,
like, yeah. What I'm about to say, I don't even
allegedly, what people allegedly say.
No, they are saying it, and the acts that they're talking about it are alleged.
Yeah.
The things that they're saying is alleged, but they aren't actually saying these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but here's why I don't think this is, what I'm going to say is so bad. What I'm saying is, if her personality wasn't one of cheerfulness and niceness, mm-hmm. I don't know if this would be hitting her that bad.
Oh,
you know
that's
what I
true.
Mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, when I said that level of fame where you can't have a bad day.
Right.
Because especially if your brand is niceness, the first time you haven't fucking cramps or something, you maybe snap at somebody, it's like, Ellen is a monster, because people feel betrayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
People are obsessed with celebrities and they feel betrayed.
It's so crazy.
Like, yeah. I am nobody. I have blocked people on Facebook and they will email me, why did you block me? And I'm like, dude, you have to get a life.
Yeah.
I don't even know who you are. I blocked you and forgot about it 2 seconds later. Do not hinge your happiness on this.
yeah, that's
you
true.
Said something I didn't like, I blocked you. That is my life. Just fucking move on. The fact that you went to search me out tells me you have bigger issues to deal with. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that's what I meant.
Oh, no, so I feel you. I
feel like you need to edit that out or not, but I'm just, so yeah, I mean, that's why I stay the same regular bitch that I am all the time.
Yeah, I think when you,
because
you're, it seems like your demeanor on stage, like it's kind of like what I go after. What I'm trying to do is just like you're kind of a heightened version of yourself. I mean, it's not, mm-hmm. and it doesn't. Your offstage you is kind of like who you are on stage,
exactly.
And there's
yeah. Like.
Yeah, so it's like there's an act, but there's not a real act. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, this is Janelle.
I don't think I have the energy to maintain. I really don't.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of, like, Joe Pera. Do you know Joe Pera?
Yes.
So, you know, Joe Pera has been in that character for so long. People are like, is that him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, he does this, if people don't know Joe Pera, who I think is hilarious, and black people get mad at me when I say that.
Why do black people get mad?
You say, why do they?
Why do we get mad collectively, black people, about Joe Pera?
Like other black comics. Oh. He's doing, you know, he's alt, which a lot of black people still don't kind of get. They're like, what?
It's some niggas that's alt. Get the fuck.
Well, some niggas that's alt, but you know.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. So, you know, I do alt rooms, I do clubs,
sure.
I do, you know, everything. So I have an appreciation for all of it.
Right.
And Joe Perry's doing this old man character or this, like, yeah, I would say an old man character. And so I was he maintains it at all times. You see him in the conversation, on stage, he's talking the same way to where you're like, oh, is this him? You know what I mean? For the longest time. And I'll never forget, one day we were on a show together, and I used to have this joke. The punchline is juicy pussy, something juicy pussy, right? So I don't remember it anymore, but I say that, and he's standing offside of the stage, and part of his character, he kind of stutters, like, hey, hey, like, just like a mm-hmm. weird old white dude is what he's doing. Right. As I'm coming off stage, he takes my hand, and I'll never forget this, he gets close to my ear, and he says, in a regular voice, hey, Janelle, I really like that joke about your juicy pussy. And then he goes on stage, and then I was shook. I couldn't believe
Did he just me too you a little bit?
No, he definitely hit on me.
Okay, he did hit on. Okay, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but beyond that, even that part didn't blow my mind. The fact that he does this character 24/7, and it's not him.
Hey, pussy will break you down to the lowest common denominator.
I totally get it.
And a juicy one at that.
After I got over that, then it was hilarious that Joe Perry hit on me.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Wow. You would not think that Bob Newhart would want that.
The rumor is that he pulls dimes. Like, people say they see him out with, like, models.
I could believe it. I could believe that shit. That's not,
which
you know.
Which makes him intriguing to me, but just the fact
no.
that.
Let me.
That's
hilarious, and you make me think about like every time you if I follow an Instagram model, and you look at her boyfriend, and it's like, really? He's not an Adonis. Okay, all right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I can use my person. Maybe I can really use my personality to
that's
find somebody nice.
Women. That's why men get, y'all are so lucky. Women are much more likely
I know.
To overlook for a personality.
I've dated some beautiful women too. It's like, I've outkicked my coverage before. Most of the time I do. But like, I think
especially
I'm handy.
Comedians, all of y'all is above your pay grade. I always, when I see comedians, girlfriends, I'm like, are you serious, bitch?
Yeah, I've gotten fat, but I'm a handsome guy. Like, if you give me a
I'm not even talking looks.
Yeah.
Again, this goes into people that you know personally that they're garbage people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different. Yeah.
Like an angel, and you just want to pull her aside, like, look, run right now. I'll do it.
I'll throw a smoke bomb. You get the fuck out of here.
You think like you're going to the bathroom and taking fucking
yeah, that's, I mean, like, my dream is to one day be dating somebody in a relationship, a good relationship with somebody, and she's on Instagram and she's like, happy birthday, Chris, you're my heart, and people are like, oh, this guy, all right. No, it's one of those things like where you think like, well, god, okay, maybe I have a shot. You know, like, I just have to put
definitely
my...
do. Everyone does.
Yeah,
I mean,
we all
again,
do.
I'm a vain narcissist, but I will always say I've never had a problem pulling any kind of man. And I don't think, you know, I'm not an Instagram model or even someone, like you said, like I said, my hair hasn't even been done and I don't give a fuck. But I am very confident that I can roll out of here and go to the goddamn grocery store and pull any man in.
I'm sure you. Oh, you're a lovely, attractive, funny woman. So I'm sure about
and
that.
We're charming. We're more charming and forward than regular people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's
so
true.
I can talk any dude in the bed. I don't give a fuck. NFL.
I mean, you made Joe Pera break character.
Hello, hello, hello. That's like getting into the CIA, motherfucker. Like, I have no.
Oh my god!
It's really,
yeah.
Just confidence and being, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I also don't have fear of rejection found. Like, so I have approached men before, and women are like, I wouldn't do that. It, to me, like, oh, I get rejected. I immediately forget about it. Like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that dude, and now I still don't know him. Like, it doesn't matter. So,
I just need to be more aggressive within reason. Like, because there's been some that like I let get away. There's been one.
I feel like the prettiest girls are the loneliest.
The
so,
which one? Say that again. Say it again.
The most beautiful women are the loneliest.
You know,
because at their level. For like men, so the men who people think they should be with, handsome with money and available, those are scarce, right?
Yeah.
And then the men below them think she's too beautiful for me.
Yeah, yeah.
She won't want me until nobody approaches her, and then they're always lonely. Regular bitches like me, we stay plus. Like, it's nothing. Like, attainable. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Attainable.
I used to have a joke Oh man, this is making me miss stand up. But I was working on a joke where I say it is like regular bitches, where it's the best. It's the best and the worst, because now everyone thinks they can get at you. So like, even ugly dudes are like, I can pull her. You know what I mean?
I can get that easy. Oh
she
man,
she had an Instagram model. I can pull her. You know that type of shit. But
yeah, I. Well, that's good. I mean, you seem to be in good spirits, and you know, you're working, you're grinding, still doing your thing.
Man, nothing but the marijuana, boy. I am. And when I'm not, I am sad for the world.
I've never done weed. I've never smoked weed.
I can tell by how you just said that.
I've never done the weed. No, it's not like it's just like, I think I was talking, who was I talking to about, it's somebody on the podcast, but it was just like, I didn't do it because like I had a cousin that was, you know, the whole gateway mm-hmm. shit, the cousin that like yeah. just kind of, it was just kind of like, let me just stay away from that. And my vices are cheeseburgers and pizza, you know?
Man, I've been smoking since I was like 18 and just okay. on and off.
Yeah.
And then, thank God. I mean, I feel like my 20s, my younger, you know, from like 16 to like 22, I've made so many bad decisions that I feel like I'm lucky.
Well, yeah. That,
a functioning, smart human being. But I definitely had my party years where it was like, but I never, for whatever reason, had the urge to do like coke or
right.
any of the like, I guess the white drugs. You know what I mean? The party. Fucking like, I've never, even though I was in that scene for a while and was always offered coke, like always, I never had the urge to do it. And I think it's because I've been the sober one talking to a cokehead so many times that I'm like, oh, I don't ever want to be this person.
Yeah, you don't want to be the person on the other side of that, just like, what the yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
This person is talking like a crazy person. I don't want to be that person. So I also don't drink.
Okay.
So it's my thing. I like it.
Yeah, no, I do it. I drink occasionally. Like it was something about like I happened to be at Wegmans and I went to their liquor store and I was like, oh, they have Blue Moon Tall Boys. And I like Blue Moon. Occasionally I like a Blue Moon every now and then.
I like a Blue Moon. I like a Blue Moon when I used to.
Yeah.
So I'll drink if people are like, everyone's drinking and they're like, you want a beer? I'll hold the same beer all night. You know, that kind
yeah.
of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they never really had like, I'd never seen a Blue Moon Tall Boy in the wild, you know? And
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Cause the only time I've had a Tall Boy at Hannibal's show, they used to, at the Knitting Factory when he was hosting, they used to have a red stripe Tall Boy, and I was like, oh shit, I've never seen that. So I had that before. I was like, let me get
super hipster.
Yeah, I was like, shit, let me get a couple of these Tall Boys. And I saved it for the week. I actually saved it to watch King of Staten Island. I bought two of them and I was
how
like,
how was that movie?
I loved it.
I
loved it. I'm gonna get it on Blu-ray when it comes out. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
And it's yeah, all the people we know are in it, you know?
Yeah, but again, quarantine isn't weird for me. Like, movies are passing me by. Like, I'm if you ask me, like, what are you doing all day? I really don't know.
Yeah. I feel you, though. No, I try to. I've been fortunate in the way that, like, I think we both have. Like, you're working on your show. I have the day job and stuff. You can do it from home. And then that kind of gives me a schedule where it's like Friday, I'm going to rent a movie on demand. Like I rented this movie, The Rental, with Alison Brie and her husband, Dave Franco, directed this like thriller. And I was like, oh, shit, I like Alison Brie, so I'm going to check this movie out. And and so I just said, okay, this weekend, I'm going to get it. I ordered it on like VOD or Google Play or whatever. And then this morning, like my old ass passed out. I was playing Ghost of Tsushima, and I passed out at like 10 o'clock. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not watching that movie tonight. And so I got up early this morning. I put it on. It was good. It was good money. Yeah, it was good money.
I'll check that out. I know early in quarantine, I was like re-watching stuff. What I did watch was what's the Walter White? Breaking Bad. I watched that for the first time.
Okay, yeah. What'd you think?
I never watched. Oh, man, I hated him so much.
Yeah,
I hated him so much, and I didn't like the show until maybe, like, the last season.
So you were you glad that he died?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, okay. I wanted him to get his ass whooped. And so I think, too, you know, when the show was actually happening, mm-hmm. all I was hearing about was how much people hated the wife character.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think me stay away from it for some reason. Oh, no. The reason I didn't watch Breaking Bad when it came out is because my dad had cancer at the same time.
Mm.
And so I wasn't watching anything that had to do with cancer. And now that I'm watching it, I'm like, the cancer didn't even really have a big part in the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just happened to have cancer. But
it was the catalyst for everything.
Right. But it was also all the hate for the wife. So I was like, I thought I knew what kind of show it was already. And I'm watching it and I'm like, this bitch didn't do anything that was unwarranted to me. Like, this dude was so horrible. Like, and not only was he horrible and a liar, he was a bad liar. He wasn't even good. And so it's like, so she was supposed to have this dude come in every night whenever he wanted, bleeding from wherever, bleeding from his head, and take this horrible lie in her face. She's pregnant, broke as fuck. And she's supposed to be like, okay, dinner's in the oven. Like, get the fuck out of here. So I didn't.
Yeah. She
made me mad watching it now. Like, damn, that character got so much hate. And then I read, like, articles about it, how she was really getting, like, hate mail and all this craziness.
People are fucking crazy.
It's
a character. It's just like, yeah, maybe you don't like the character, but you're sending this person death threats.
You understand why I stay away from that. Say the same shit. It's so many crazy people who cannot separate your act from the reality, and they get so involved to reach out to somebody. It's the same people that write YouTube comments. I would never. Or the people that search me out to say, I didn't like your joke on da da da. You know the shit I watch that I don't like? You think I didn't like Walter White? You think I'm going to fucking write, what's his name?
Brian Cranston.
Brian Cranston, like, hi. I just wanted to say,
I didn't like your character.
That shit is crazy, and the fact that people can't realize that is so funny to me. I like fame, like in the 50s, where you only see Marilyn Monroe when she had a movie, they did the red carpet, you maybe read a couple tabloid stories, and that's it.
Right.
I'm not fucking in my kitchen trying to show people how to cook as well as acting and talking about it.
Right. No, I feel you. No, it's
selling a blender and fitness tea, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
the people who consume that stuff are widows and losers, and I don't want them looking at me.
I don't want them looking at me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Leave me alone.
Yeah, look at me when it's time. It's fine too. Like when I put something out.
My ideal fan base is smart people who know that I'm trying to make you laugh and are appreciative of it. That you not come in to critique me or fact check my jokes or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or try to mold me into what kind of act you think you want. Like, my fan base, which is pretty good, and I feel like I've weeded out all the people to where when I hear people complaining about like Facebook or Instagram or whatever, I feel like I've curated my fan base to the point where they don't even get on my nerves. Like everybody.
Yeah.
That's weird.
What is it like when you talked a little bit about it earlier about when you're opening for famous people? What's that like? Like, I mean, I just saw you. I mean, it's common knowledge. It's not Amy Schumer's documentary, which I thought was terrific. Expecting Amy, like, oh, so shit, Janelle. what's that like? Like, cause for her, I think maybe you guys were at the. Was it in
Chicago
West?
Theater?
Chicago Theater. Like,
that's where that film, that footage came from.
Oh, okay.
We were at the Chicago Theater where she did her special.
Okay, so you opened for her special. Did you do any other dates with her?
Yeah, I was on that.
Did you do Terrytown with her?
Did I do Terrytown? I did Utah, and the reason I remember that is because they wrote a bad review of me in the newspaper. Said I was too dirty.
Why am I not surprised?
And I was like, oh, that's Utah. But but it's also like an Amy Schumer show, so how am I too dirty?
But that's anyway, so weird. You were too black.
But it's Utah. It's Mormons and shit. So yeah. They probably don't even see black people talk, much less like me. So
yeah.
We did Nashville. I can't remember places, but she was the first tour I've gone on where we did the whole private plane thing. So that was exciting.
That's cool. Right.
I like touring with big, really big comics like that because they pay you a lot of money. It's a lot, and those things have always come. Her, Chris Rock, and even Hannibal when I first started. Yeah. Those gigs always came out, happened at a time for me when I really need it. Hannibal is very good with that, and other comics will say that. Mm-hmm. He, for whatever reason, has some psychic way of knowing when you're down to your last $11.
Yeah.
And he will just pop out in your phone like, hey, doing 5 dates in Indiana.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you, Jesus. And then that gets you another 3 months of pizza or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, no, he's great. Like I've talked about him a lot on this podcast where he was one of the first people to give me a shot in the city.
I think he's a lot of people first for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I also, why I like Hannibal is like my sensei and he doesn't know that. Like I really admire him and I watch everything he does. I like that he's his own person.
Yeah.
I like the kind of fame that he has, and it was almost turning when that Cosby Show shit happened. He could have used that to get a different kind of fame. He could have leaned into that and been like, yeah, you know, women.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame, sexual harassment, but he knows that's not his personality. In fact, he had a joke right after that where he talked about that, where he would say women come up to him and they're like, thank you so much, Hannibal. You really helped women out. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm a misogynist. I have old ideas and dated values about women, and I'm trying to work on it. Like, he basically says,
oh, who shit. He is,
instead of being like, oh, I'm gonna do this whole new personality and ride the wave on this shit. That's why I like
him. And some people think he got to blow up because of that anyway.
And no, he just continued on the path.
Yeah,
that he was already on. If anything, he might have lost people. Black people were mad at him.
Yeah, they
were. Don't forget that shit. So I think he evened up. He evened out.
Yeah.
And the fact that because I know a lot of people, again, being so thirsty for recognition, would have switched up their whole playbook because of that. They would have had a publicist in their ear like, hey, this is what you do. We're going to put out an article in the day. You're going to talk about how much you know, da-da-da. You're going to condemn Bill Cosby. You're going to do that. You know what I mean? You're going to do this charity gig. Da-da-da. And he was like, nah, he fell back. Continue to do his low-key shit that he does.
Yeah.
And then it kind of faded off. Like, I really like him. And many times I have been at a job on a shoot, whatever, and I'll be like, man, this is great. And somebody will say, yeah, what Hannibal said, you should, that we should hit you up. I was like, yeah, you know. So not only does he do things for you, he don't tell you. That's big. He not like, hey, guess what?
I don't know him.
You posted on from at midnight. I just want to let you know I'm the one that said, like, there's so many people like that. And it's refreshing when you find out someone did something for you after the fact from someone else.
Yeah, I think he unfollowed me on Twitter. I think because I tweeted about Pretty Little Liars too much. But he's always...
Oh, he doesn't follow me on Twitter either. I don't give a shit.
No. I don't care about that. He was really... I say this all the time, and fuck it, man. You got it. He doesn't seem like the type of person, because we know comics, and I don't think he's very accepting of people giving him his flowers in that sort of way. But he was always one of those dudes. Like, I had a stint where I toured with Chris Hardwick a little bit, like, years ago. And, like, before I did my first theater, I was like, Hannibal, doing my first theater. Is it possible for me to just like get some time on your show just to work some jokes? And he's like, oh, sure. Want to do it tonight or want to do it this weekend? He wouldn't even be hosting the show. Like I only did that Knitting Factory with him like once when he was actually, you know, maybe, you know, I was there to just watch it, but doing the show, like he only hosted once. Cause by the time I did that show, like he got too busy and he would always be like, like, yeah, yeah, come, go do it. Do the show. Yeah, go do the show.
I'm sure it's because he has faced his own rejection. I mean, you know, when Hannibal started, I'm sure in Chicago, his act was revolutionary.
Yeah.
Chicago, you know, that's, you know, jokes and notes in the black rooms and mm-hmm. everybody like, you know, y'all know when women be like, that's yeah. that comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for Hannibal to come out to be low-key talking about his nerd shit, or not even nerd shit, the fact that he had glasses, everybody assumed he a nerd and shit.
Yeah.
So he was talking, but he just had a different demeanor.
Right.
I'm sure he had his rejections, and instead of fucking being a bitch, and like, oh, now I'm going to use that as revenge to hold other people down. He was like, come on. And I remember when I started hearing about the Knitter Factory when I still lived in the Midwest. Like, that's how big that yeah. thing was. Like, more than Caroline's, more than the clubs. People were like, you got to do Hannibal's room in the Knitter Factory.
Yeah,
like, that
yeah.
was like the shit. And so, what was I going to say? Fuck. I lost. Don't do drugs, kid.
well, you might get it back. I was thinking about, like, it, that's really important, because that it never. I started stand up when I was 29, so like mm-hmm. it's different for me because it's
me
like,
too.
Oh really? Oh wow. Okay, yeah. cool.
Yep. Yeah.
So like,
I feel like that's really why I have a different viewpoint of everything, including the same thing. I started when I was already an adult. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I am who I am at this point.
We were already grown-ups, and I think I don't think that I needed this to happen this way for me, but I always knew, like, okay, if Hannibal, who was on the rise, treats me nice to say, like, yeah, come do my show, that maybe, mm-hmm. in all honesty, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, so I don't give a fuck if people get mad, maybe wasn't ready to do the show. To be honest with you, that's uh-huh. 2 years in. And he put me on. I did uh-huh. fine, but he uh-huh. did it. So it was like, okay, well, maybe I can work in other shows. And with people with less credentials, less uh-huh. fame, less credits than Hannibal treated me a certain way, I was like, well, okay, I don't have to fuck with this person.
That's the other thing. Like, if he don't take himself that seriously. And yeah. he's like, how long you been doing it? He's
yeah.
like, oh, you want to go up?
Right.
I remember what I was going to say. What I was going to say, which I'll lead back into what I just cut myself off from. I remember hearing about the Knitter Factory when I first got to New York mm-hmm. and trying to get on it. Like, all the white comics were mad at Hannibal. They were like, he always puts up black people. And part of it was,
wow.
none of the other rooms were booking black people. And then as soon as we got a room that was mm-hmm. popular and black, they were all mad. They
yeah.
didn't say, oh, this is probably in reaction to the fact that they can't get booked on other rooms. They were just like, how dare he put up most of black people on his own fucking show?
Yeah.
So I think that was part of it too. Like, if you were black and you could prove that you were a comic.
Yeah.
Or somebody else said, hey, he'd be going up. Not even if you good, Hannibal would at least give you a chance to bomb.
Yeah.
He don't even get to bomb on that shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's his show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you think you can go? He didn't do that trite bar show shit where you gotta kill. Like, bitch, you giving me $5.
Yeah. Or you're giving me nothing. You're giving me nothing.
Oh, you're giving me nothing. Like, get over yourself.
Hannibal will give you money and a drink ticket.
And the thing, good thing about his show was, yes, that's the other thing, he would pay you. Like, yeah. I remember getting like $20. Like, oh my God.
Shit. My 30th birthday, I did a show for the first time. I called my parents. I was like, this writer guy from Saturday Night Live booked me on this comedy show. And that was a big deal because I had to tell, one is like validation from my parents. Like, I'm doing shit. So like
yeah.
2 years in, that's a big deal. And
my
I would never
believe I was doing shit. I already had a Netflix special. She still didn't believe it until I went on tour with Nene Leakes.
Wow.
And Barry Shepherd.
Okay. That was like a theater tour, right?
Yes. And yeah. She came to my hotel room and she was like, wow. She said, you got to pay for this. I said, no, they give you the hotel. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, why did you believe me? Like, she did not.
That's crazy. This, all of this
stuff. Like, Sherry Shepherd is there?
These water like, bottles are yours?
I also went up to her Chris Rock mom, you know, she's like, I know, but is Adele going to be there? You know, so.
But that made me think, like, I would never treat anybody else like that. You know what I mean? Like, that was like, why should, okay, if Hannibal's nice, why should I not be as nice as Hannibal is to people that if I'm in a position to help somebody, why not? You know, why, you know, I shouldn't be a dick, you know?
I found that the worst people are frauds. The corniest motherfuckers, the people who know that they got in their position through nepotism, people who, you know, have whatever kind of privilege, whether it be white privilege or school background or connections or whatever, those are always the meanest people. And I think it's because they know. They know.
Wow. They know they ain't shit.
Instead of being grateful and being like, let me help some other people, they do this old, or they're doing this like, Hollywood that they've seen on TV. Act. Like, I gotta be a bad bitch, or this guy, fucking Ari from Entourage, or whatever.
Yeah.
And all that shit is so corny to me. And what I have figured out is it's not everybody, and you don't have to work for those people. Like I said, I've turned down, I turned shit. Hannibal taught me that. Hannibal, one day, I was doing every fucking shitty show, driving every place, tiring myself out, spending money to do shows.
Yep.
And one day he said to me, he said, you know, you can say no to stuff. And that shit had never crossed my mind. It was like he just read me from the fucking sacred scrolls. I was like, what?
He's kind of like a sage, and he's younger than me.
He's younger than me too.
Yeah, we're probably the same
and
age.
And so it's he is like that. And so another thing about Hannibal, I don't know if he still says this, but he used to say he's a nihilist, which is not a good thing because that means you don't care about nothing.
Well, he kind of, it seems like he's a little more zen now, like, because he did stop. I know he stopped drinking a couple years ago.
So he's
probably, I haven't talked to him in a few years, but, you know,
he's a weird dude. He is, but he's not awful with it. I just like him a lot. I like his vibe.
Yeah.
I like how he's doing the business part of this. Many white people I've spoken to that are agents or whatever, they all are trying to crack Hannibal. They're like, when you zig, he zags. Like, I love hearing shit about like that about black people.
Well, they think he's supposed, like, because they're trying to get him to do a game show, and he opened his new hour about that, like talking about that.
Yes. Yeah. And I ain't ready to be done.
Yeah.
And part of that too is Hannibal having fun. That's the other thing I like about him and what I'm trying to emulate. I only do shit that is fun.
Well, that's what you said. That's what you said on Facebook a couple weeks ago about like stand up. Like, I got into this to be fun. I'm not trying to hurt nobody.
As soon as I figure out I can turn shit down, if it don't seem like a good time, that's why I don't do a lot of podcasts. If I ain't in the mood, I'm not doing it. Like, I ain't got shit. I don't have something to promote, I don't want to spend my life minutes doing shit that don't make me happy. And you can, once you are, and I am, like I said, secure that I am funny, I'm like, nobody can tell me shit about stand-up. It is what it is. Once I reach there, which took me about 9 years, to be honest.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same to me. Yeah.
This is supposed to be my 10th year, but this shit don't count.
You should still add it. You should still, it's still.
I'm so out of it. I don't even know what a joke is anymore, but.
That's not true. You made me laugh today.
Well, I mean, as far as like, I get asked to do Zoom shows and I'm like, I don't know what the.
I don't think I know that other people do that and it seems like it's fun for them. I don't think that it would work for me.
I think people don't realize it. I don't think it works for certain kind of acts.
Yeah.
I am very, not only low key, but just introspective. I'm thinking, and I don't think it translates. I need to feed on the energy of the audience. I just don't, all the things I like about stand up are not present in a Zoom. So I did one, like early on in the quarantine. It went okay. And I got a like momentary high of, well, I did that. Like, I wanted to do it because I was like, the reason you're not doing this is because you're scared. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't. The same reason I don't do TikToks. I'm just like, I'm going to look like an idiot. That's not my personality.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it. And the same thing was happening with Zoom. And I don't like to operate from fear. So I said, I'll do one. And it went well. I even like had a new joke that just came out from just speaking. But then it made me very sad. Like, after I was happy for a second, then I got crashed because it was like, oh shit, is this what it is now?
And I don't,
thankfully, I don't need the money.
Right.
I don't feel like it would be helping my career at this point. So I'm just not doing it. I'm not,
sure.
I don't like doing shit just to do it. So, and I feel like Hannibal's the same way.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be like Hannibal, man. Like, he's the new Be Like Mike, man.
Aren't we all? He's been nice. Like, he was a really, really kind to me coming up and everything. And I'll never forget that. Like,
he's one of the first people to take me on the road. Todd Berry was first.
Okay.
And then Hannibal. Oh, it was Todd Berry, Rob Delaney, and then Hannibal. But Hannibal was interested in that. I got to see him kind of blow up. We went from, like, Best Western to the fucking Hyatt to the,
yeah.
You know, we used to drive everywhere. Then we got plane tickets all of a sudden. It was cool to watch his
ascent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is how you do it. This is how you fucking talk to these white people. This is how you... All that shit I learned from him. So
yeah.
I am just annoyed. I am just as annoying to my agents as he probably is to his.
That's what's up. And I think, like, a lot of the famous people that I've met and come in contact with have been super nice. Even Amy Schumer, when I was first start, she was, I think maybe her album had came out. Her album was out, and it was at the Stress Factory. I had gone to see her and Mark. No, Mark got me a ticket. Like, Mark got me a comp or something. And I went, and she was like, oh, you're a comic? You want to go up? And I was like, oh, shit. She put me up, sold out crowd. She's like, she said to me after the show, she said, good luck working here. Have fun working here. Like, meaning, like, you know, you did enough to be passed and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so no, she's real sweet.
But as far as, like, and, you know, we text every once in a while, but when people are that, like, Hannibal is famous and has more money than me, but he still operates in a regular dude kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be friends with people such as, or just real friends, the people such as the Amy Schumers and Chris Rocks, because they have so much money. I just can't fathom. I'm just like, what do we have to talk about? Like, so for instance, when I was on tour with Amy Schumer, you know, everybody's joking around, and I'm always kind of quiet anyway, because I'm just an observer. I just like looking around what's happening, who people are, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And she said something, and then I was going to say something. I said, I probably shouldn't say that. And she said, you can say whatever. And I was like, she was like, we're friends. And I was like, I don't think so.
You said that? He said that too?
Before I was in a tour with her, I had only met her maybe twice.
I was like, I'm your employee.
Exactly. The way she contacted me on Instagram, like, yo, I saw your Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Come over to my house. I went over to her house. That was surreal. And then I was on tour with her. So I was like, that'll make us friends. And so she's like, really? And I'm like, you are, like you just said, you're my boss. I'm here in a work capacity. That's how I think about tours.
Yeah.
Like, this person has hired me for a service. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
Right.
And so she thought that was funny, but I'm very serious. I'm just like, let me get to your level, and then we can be cool. Because until then, I am not talking freely. I'm not saying whatever I want to say. You know what I mean? Like, am I going to dress down Amy Schumer for something I don't like while I'm on tour with her? You know what I mean?
Right. I know exactly how you feel. Yeah. I totally understand.
Even though I have done that to certain other comics, but I would rather not. You know what I mean? So, and the same thing with Chris. Like, Chris, I can't even believe he knows who I am still. You know, like, even though I went on tour with him, I'm just like, I can't even believe Chris Rock knows who I am. And if I text him, he responds. It might not be the same day, but a day later, he'll respond to whatever I do. But I don't call him my friend.
Right, right. I feel you. No, I know exactly.
And that's some Hollywood LA shit that I refuse to do. I'm not, they're not my friends. They're my colleagues, and I'm grateful to know them, and they've helped me a lot. But I'm not like, what up, Chris? What you doing for the fourth?
Yeah. It keeps you grounded.
I'll hear Hannibal up back when he does.
Yeah.
We'll probably having some Loki ass sitting in a fucking rented Airbnb somewhere that's fly as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, Hannibal knows how to party. Like, many times, I just love that he hits people up randomly. Like, yo, you in LA? Come through to this. And it'll be just the coolest, chillest fucking shindig with the coolest, chillest people, and I'm just like, I want this life. So when I think of people to aspire to, it's usually him, not even Chris Rock level. Mm-hmm. That type of fame and money is just crazy to me.
It's a little unfathomable. I can't even say it. I
remember hanging out with Hannibal after Bronx City Pop. I remember being on tour with him. People, him standing next to his poster and people not knowing who he was. And then Bronx City popping. And then going to like a party with him and just seeing people not approach him, but everybody's looking at him. That freaks me out.
Wow. Because they were scared?
Like, no, just like, I know that person.
But they didn't.
Should I approach them? And they don't. They really don't know me. So I'm standing right next to them listening to them talk about Hannibal. So I've just seen how the fame creeps on you and how it changes how you have to move. Then going on tour with Chris, and we trying to like go to a movie like during the day, and he has a bodyguard and six of us around him, and nobody's looking at the movie screen. Everybody's looking at the side of his face, and he has to act like he don't know everybody's looking at him. Like, that shit is crazy.
Oh my God, wow.
And people coming up like, sign my napkin, it's my son's birthday, and all this bullshit.
What's it like when you open for Chris Rock? Because I know my buddies Randolph, Terrence, and Andy Klein said you murdered. I think we were in somewhere in Virginia where they saw you. What's it like for you when you do those? Like, are you thinking about anything differently than when you're headlining yourself?
No, I am always thinking that I'm going to murder because my whole
sure, that's great. Yeah.
With stand up, with acting, I'm just like, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Mm-hmm. I always have to remind myself, you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
You were chosen for whatever reason. You know you're funny. Do your fucking act. Especially with shows like that, you never know who's in the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to crush. And so I remember I was on tour with Amy, and she brought another comic on who I won't say.
Oh.
The name. She brought another comic on. No. It's fine. I just don't want to talk shit about it.
You'll tell me after.
And she didn't do well on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy says, can you talk to her? Like, I think she's nervous or whatever. And so I did talk to her. And then in the next night, she did great. And so Amy came over and she said, what did you say to her? I said, I told her, we not here to bomb. Mm. And she was like, what? I said, I told her, we not getting paid. Come on. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you got offered by Amy Schumer to come on a fucking theater tour,
that's
and
true.
You thought you were good enough to say yes and take this money, you better not fucking bomb. And they did way better. Like, that's how I think about it.
Oh, definitely. So, tell me when we stop. because it's...
I mean, Chris, opening for Chris is how I got my Netflix shit. Like, it all blends into each other. Everything you do. I remember when people were saying, when I got my Seth Meyers thing, that's right around when people were saying, oh, late night doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting late night sets now. It doesn't matter. And what happened? Don Cheadle saw it. I crushed that shit and I got a job from it. Like, everything I do, I'm like, I'm about to crush this shit. Like, that's what I'm thinking.
That's
great. And I'm not going to make this super rich and famous person regret their decision. Yeah.
That's interesting to me because that's like great. I really appreciate that. So it just seems like for you, it's almost everything else. It's a job. I think what you're saying is kind of important and it's kind of causing like a little bit of clarity for me. It seems like the actual performance, the act of doing stand up for you is like, yeah, I'm going to fucking kill this because I work at it and everything like that. Yeah. But then it's just like the bullshit around it is kind of what seems
not
to.
Appealing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I like that. No, like, cause I feel like I always feel like some butterflies, like the good butterflies before I perform.
Oh, no, I'm nervous. I'm definitely nervous.
Okay. Well, yeah. Cause I was about to say like, you're a robot, but I think that mentality though, that I think that's a really good mentality to have that I think like I want
to
adopt.
Then it's time to be afraid of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That nerve is what keeps you, what's the word, present.
Sure.
In the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not nervous, then you don't care.
Yeah.
That's
right.
How I feel about it.
Yeah.
And, nerves, being very nervous or having an argument right before I go on stage, that's when I fucking crush. Like, I used to start shit with people in text, like, have text fights with people before I go on stage just to fucking get that energy, because that's, you know, that's what you want to go on with. Like,
yeah,
these are jokes I've done said 90 million times, but I'm about to say this shit like I just came up with it, and it's the funniest thing you've ever heard. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, again, like with people like that, I'm always so like, thank you for letting me do this.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many other people you could have had, and you asked me, I'm about to kill this shit. So.
Cause I've like open for some people and stuff too, but it's just like I think, but though, like Chris Rock, I mean, that's like, cause even like with the Amy Schumer doc, like I was looking at, I think Sam opened for, like they went up the, it's almost like you go to Long, they went to Long Island somewhere that's kind of like for New Yorkers, it's like up the street, but it's up the street for Amy Schumer, but it's a fucking big ass theater, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just like, it's like for her.
Activity or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I did, like I, for me, no, cause for me, like the, one of the bigger shows that I did, like doing a show, like a small theater show up in Schenectady, actually headlining. Mm-hmm. And there was anxiety. Like I had, like, think of celebrities being nice. Craig Robinson, I opened for him a few times and
yeah,
I,
he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool as shit. And he told me, I was telling him, yeah, I'm working. He was making fun of me and he was like, oh, you're doing a show in where it's Schenectady. I was like, yeah, I just want to get ready. And he's like, well, come do guest spots. Come do guest spots at the Stress Factory. So I would open for him, and then I showed him the, you know, the little picture of my name. He was really fucking nice. He was just like, yeah, come do spots. And
I think people who have, quote unquote, made it already are generally very nice. You can't take shit from them at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's always people on your same level or right above or below you that still think we're all scrambling for the same gigs,
yeah,
presenting all this bullshit, and the frauds that I talked about earlier who know they should not be in the position that they're in. They've finagled or confidenced or bullshitted their way into it.
Yeah.
And so now the way they cover for it is to try to make people scared of them.
Yeah.
And so that's the type of shit I have no time for. I have left, turned down, and walked out of many gigs like that, and I want people to know that that's possible and that work continues to come after you get, you don't have to work in environments that make you, if you're sure about your act and your work, you know what I mean? You don't have to accept environments that make you, I mean, I know people working in jobs that's like, I cry every day. What the fuck? Ain't no amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be enough for me as an adult at my big age to have another adult yelling at me.
Yeah.
No, kind of, it's just not going to happen. So once I figure out I can say no, and once I got confident enough to know that there's other jobs and people who aren't assholes that you can work for, it's been gravy.
That's so great. Well, Janelle, I think that's a good way to end this. This was
nice.
This was fucking cool. Like I was so happy to get you on and just to shoot the shit. Like, cause I think this is probably the longest conversation we ever had.
But, I just looked at the computer like, oh shit, 3 hours.
Two. But that, because you've always, like, I had Reese Waters on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's somebody that I always liked and respected, but just never really got to know him until I talked to him like that. And I did a couple of his podcasts and stuff. And you, I feel the same way about. Like, you've always been a person that I've admired from afar, where, like, we just kind of, we're friends on Facebook and social media and stuff. And I'm like, I like that Janelle James, you know? So it was good. It was good to shoot the shit.
I did want to say, too, maybe just for you, and you'll edit it out if you want to, but I've been doing these like really elaborate Instagram stories.
Okay.
So that is one thing I've been doing. So this has been helping me feel funny and creative, is that I've figured out how to like tell stories in my Instagram stories using music and writing jokes and using pictures.
Okay.
And I just recently did a whole basically story about my stand-up career, where I started in the Midwest and going on tour with Hannibal and meeting Eugene Merman, and then ended up touring with Chris, and it's in my highlights on my Instagram story.
Okay, all right. I think I follow.
It's like a musical journey.
Okay, sure. All right.
You know, just kind of quickly. I mean, and I used to have an addendum on there that, because the story makes it seem like, hey, I just hustled and grinded, and here I am. I did used to have an addendum on there that said, you know, I was very depressed for a lot of that time.
Yeah. Right.
I started stand up because my dad died. Like, my relationship was like fucking falling apart. I like neglected my kids. Like, it's a lot. I went into debt. It's like a lot of things that people don't, you know, we all don't see in the pursuit of creative professions. You know
sure.
what I mean? So I just wanted people to know about that part too. But if you wanted to see the surface of it, I did it on my Instagram stories.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Like, I wanted to, you know, just like, we always usually do origin story stuff, but we have reasons, you know, we talked about shit. You and I talked about it before. Yeah.
And also, I've said the story so many times, or at least the version that I want to tell many times.
Yeah.
There's other podcasts, not to tell people to listen to other podcasts.
That's fine.
If you want to know, like, how I started saying up, I've said it on other podcasts before. And
yeah,
one, because I don't talk about my personal life a lot.
Right.
But one podcast that I did do that people always still contact me about, even though I did it so long ago, was it's called The Hilarious World of Depression. And they talk to funny people who deal with depression. And so I talk a lot about how and what my mind state was when I first started stand up to where I am now.
Hmm. That's
so if you want to listen to that, that's out there.
Cool. Cool. And so plug some stuff. Like, you got your Netflix special, the stand ups, you've got,
you know, you can see
Black and Mild.
See me on my deck every morning around 9 AM looking at the trees. I'm usually smoking a sativa blend.
Okay.
Then you can check me out, Black on Miles. We is my stand-up album, which came out in, I guess, 2018 now. But it's still, when it come up on my Spotify, I'm like, ooh, that bitch is funny. And so I think it's still. It's like the thing that I'm most proud about still. So
that's great.
I'm glad that's out. Watch Black Monday on Showtime. Watch Central Park on Apple TV and whatever Apple products you have. And then what do I have? My, you know, Netflix, 15 is out there. I got YouTube shit. Watch my old, people been finding my old, sketches that I used to do, which has been funny to relive.
Is that you did with Hadia Robinson?
I did those. Big Detective still out there. Mile Bitch. Like, I had done a lot of, sketches and stuff that I totally forgot about, so I'm glad that people are finding them in quarantine.
That's great.
Anyway, I'm out here.
That's great.
Follow me on Facebook, talking shit every day like a crazy person.
Okay, well, and, hold on to the line, Janelle, and you know, after we end. So this has been great. This has been fantastic. Everybody, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you. We will talk to you next time. Take it easy.